All right, welcome everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. So welcome. Let's start with the Serenity Prayer. Go ahead and close your eyes if you wish.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Surrender Your Resentments Through Service workshop. Please, our anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcasting media, in protecting the anonymity of all of our members, present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away with you and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to OA members, and that no unauthorized pictures be taken. This session is being recorded and will not be edited. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous should use a fictitious name. Two Hatters, OA members affiliated with related facilities or other anonymous programs, are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member and to avoid implying endorsement of any outside enterprise by OA as a whole. We also ask that you not record any workshop with cell phones or any other types of recording equipment. And if you could please check your phone and make sure your ringer is off at this time. So with no further ado, let's welcome Tana from Washington.
Hi, I'm Tana, compulsive overeater. Actually, I call myself a recovering ABC, anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater, but it's like anorexic is like a 2-point type font, bulimic is like a 4-point type font, and compulsive overeater is a 97-point type font. So that gives you a little bit of an idea where I come from. So I came into program about 29 years ago. This the day after Thanksgiving, it'll be 29 years ago. I have been sober with the food for 24.79 years, 297.56 months, 9,058 days, and 217,377 hours. Actually, probably it's now 379 because it's been a couple hours since I did my little recovery calculator. But I'm not obsessive. Just saying. So essentially, I've been sober with the food for you know, almost 25 years, not quite. I came into program, you know, almost 30 years ago. I was in the Bay Area, and I came in very thin. I was, my whole life I'd been, probably since I was 14 when my cat died. That's when my eating disorder really kind of started to really develop. Went through a period of kind of an anorexic time, you know, and then I did the yo-yo dieting, the yo-yo weight. And when I was a senior in high school, I was a normal body weight, but I had angry stretch marks all over my legs and hips. I had horrendous acne on my back and my face. And I, you know, it just, you know, I've been from mildly obese to normal weight to anorexic type, you know, all over the place. And it was just really painful. Fast forward real quick. I got into program when in my late 20s in the Bay Area. And, you know, my life on the outside looked great. You know, on the inside, I was a mess. I was very depressed. I was married to someone who became verbally abusive during our honeymoon, and I didn't know how to handle it. I lost a lot of weight because I thought, you know, if I have his thin thighs, then he'll love me and respect me and treat me well. Well, that didn't work. And then I became laxative and exercise bulimic. I got into OA through a friend who wanted someone to go with her to an OA meeting, and I didn't have a problem, of course, but she needed to go. And, you know, so I, of course, had to go with her, being good flaming codependent with both afterburners going. So she left after a year. I stuck around. My first meeting, I thought, good God, you guys are effed up. You know, and it's like I knew when I was walking in, I had that L for loser on my forehead. You know, I just knew this. And I thought, you know, God, people just share all this personal crap. Don't you know that the, is that my 1 by 5 minutes? Okay. Okay. You don't be sharing your dirty laundry with other people. You know, skeletons are meant to stay in the closet, you know, and I thought everybody was really weird. This was pretty cult-like. But after about 3-4 meetings, it was like, okay, sign me up. I found my lost tribe. And I've been coming back ever since. you know, there's been, you know, the topic is, okay, and I always screw this up. It's surrendering your resentments through service. And at first when I was trying to figure it out, I thought, what the hell am I going to talk about that? You know, is this resenting your way through service, servicing yourself through your resentments? No, that's not it, you know. You know, I could come up with all these different things, none of them very appropriate. And then I went through the, at any rate, I kind of jumped ahead a little bit. Needless to say, I kept coming back. I've lived in the Bay Area for my first, you know, 8 years or so, 9 years in program. Then I moved to Colorado, and I was here for 10 years and in recovery here. And then 10 years ago, I moved to Washington State, where I grew up, and now I'm back in Washington and in program there. So wherever I go, there's program. I met my sponsor in the Bay Area. She's still my sponsor. I won't mention her name, but she's sharing a room with me here, which is so cool. You know, one of my spiritual guidance people I met at World Service through my sponsor, you know, in World Service, and he was the person who got me to speak here, and I've got my peeps from that sustained me through some amazingly difficult things, and they're here. And this is, it's like, I feel like I'm coming home. I've got all my OA buddies here, and this is so cool. So anyway, okay. I got abstinent from bulimia within the first couple of months of coming into program. I've never gone back into anorexia since coming into program. Compulsive overeating, it took me about 4 years to get back-to-back food sobriety. I was in and out of relapse my first 4 years. Like I said, I've been in OA for 29 years, been abstinent almost 25 years. My top weight was 210, at least that's the top weight they measured. I'm about 50 pounds below my top weight. I'm about 15 pounds above my ideal weight. But my doctor's like, shut up, just get out and exercise more, you're fine. So, you know, part of me says, I'm not skinny right now. But, you know, menopause and some medical issues have had especially menopause, it just kind of kicked my ass a little bit. So, you know, I'd like to be a little bit thinner, but, you know, I'm okay. So, you know, there's so much I can talk about. And I'm going to try to kind of condense it and see where I'm at here. Now, I forgot to time myself, so I guess... okay, good. So then I'll move into the topic here. Just a little bit ADD at the moment. Anyway, so I got this topic to talk about, and I'm going, okay, surrendering your resentments through service. And I read through the big book, and I looked for all the things on service, and all the things on resentment, and all the things on surrendering, and I noted those down. And I didn't find that phrase. And so then I went through the 12 and 12. I didn't find that there either. Oh, crap, I'm going to have to extrapolate. So that's being an engineer, you know. That's I can do that, I think. So I went to the dictionary. My dear friend Mike has taught me to use the dictionary. And so surrender, okay. To give oneself up. As to the police. No, I don't think that's it. You know, to give up, abandon, or relinquish control, for example. Surrender, that would be to give up, relinquish control. And that's in my daily life. To give oneself up as into the power of another, to submit or yield, that would be to my higher power. Resentment, the feeling of looking up in the dictionary, the feeling of displeasure or indignation at some act, remark, person, etc., regarded as causing injury or insult. Well, I know that one really well. You know, and resentment is, like it talks about in the big book, is the number one problem. It causes so much heartache and grief. And then service, an act of helpful activity to help or aid or do someone a service. So that, you know, those are some things I looked at, you know, in delivering this talk. And so, you know, for me, resentment is rooted in hurt. And one of, you know, it's like in my family of origin, we were fairly, you know, we were dysfunctional, but we were fairly, we put the fun in dysfunctional. You know, we might have been kind of dysfunctional, but we were relatively healthy. We knew how to have a good time. But, you know, I wasn't taught how to deal with hurt. You know, it's like turn the other cheek, just don't worry about it. But, and I wasn't taught how to protect myself against people who were not safe or people who were mean. It was like, oh, just, you know, I just didn't know how, you know, and so I would get hurt and I didn't know what to do with it. So I turned that inward. So the anger turned inward is for me is the resentment. And resentment is that replay of that hurt over and over and over again in my mind. It talks about in the big book, you know, resentment is the number one offender. It gets us into more trouble than about anything. So how do I deal with that resentment? And so one of the things that I've been working with one of my sponsees is, you know, she came up with a hurt and there's a resentment. It's like, okay, so you were hurt. You know, I get hurt. What do I do? You know, part of me wants to, you know, part of my brain says, well, let's just go eat. We'll just bury it under, you know, 3 bags, boxes, and pounds. That doesn't work too well, so I don't do that anymore. I can reach out to other people. I can call my sponsor. I can text other people in OA. You know, I can also do some writing on it. God, I hate that when someone, especially when my sponsor suggests writing, it's like, I don't want to freaking write. Jeez, I just want this person, get even with them and move on. But, you know, that's not a really good way to have a sane and happy life and live a good, you know, life and have healthy recovery and not get into the food. So we don't do that either. So when I have a resentment, what I do is I do a little mini 4 through 9 step. And, you know, the thing about resentment for me is the squirrel cage. It's the concept of the squirrel cage. When I get upset and I don't have anything, I don't know what to do, it goes around and around my head. I replay it. I replay it from different angles. What I should have said, what I did say, what I'll see, what, you know, I mean, it'll just go round and round and round and round. And that is not really helpful. So it is getting into action. And fortunately, that's something that I'm really good at, is getting into action. And so I'll do a 4-step. You know, what is my part in it? You know, was I, you know, what did I contribute to it? Was I being, you know, did I put myself in an unsafe situation? Did I put myself in an unsafe situation by my poor choices when I knew better, for example? Was I making a snarky comment and I got one back? You know, sometimes it's things just happen. You know, someone cuts you off on the freeway. You know, I might not have had a part in it, but how I react to it is my part in it. And if I carry that on in a resentful way, that's going to, you know, the first thing, as the squirrel cage goes around, then I start thinking about food, and that's not a good place to go. So I said, did I do a 4-step? You know, what was my part? Was it fear? Was it resentment? Was it anger? Was it, you know, what was the, you know, let's take a look at that. You know, what character defects of mine have come up? Do I need to make an amends? You know, what part did I play? Do I need to make amends to somebody? So it gives me a little way to look at things from a practical point of view. It's good to talk about it with a sponsor or with another OA person, because it's real easy, especially when I felt righteously indignant, which is not a safe place for me to be in my head. You know, I need to have that outside issue that says, well, maybe I ought to think about this and write about this, and which really irritates me when that happens. But it's good to do that. It's good, that self-reflection. So then, you know, once I've figured out my part, I've cleaned up my side of the street, then how do I get my mind off that resentment? How do I get myself off that squirrel cage? You know, I've heard that resentment is kind of like, left unchecked, it's like drinking poison and hoping it kills the other person. And, you know, it's just not really effective. And I've spent a lot of my life being very resentful and before program. You know, so there's things that I can do to, you know, once I've done kind of the work with my steps and my sponsor, there's things I can do. I can get into service. And for me, I have to do something to get off the squirrel cage. I've got to substitute another action other than the squirrel cage or eating, and so I can get into service. And for me, you know, we talk about service has been really instrumental in my recovery. And again, it's a program of action. It's not a program of thinking. Thinking is not a tool, if anyone was wondering. You know, what can I do to get into action? You know, I've already written about it. I've done my steps around it. Now what I can do is I can get into service. And the thing that I like about service, and I'm going to step back a little bit. I feel like I'm a little scattered here, so you have to forgive me. But service has taught me how to learn healthy boundaries in a safe environment. A lot of my resentment was because I didn't have good boundaries. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't realize that no was a complete sentence. It was, I'd always say yes to things. And then I would resent the hell out of people. So service gave me a place to learn healthy boundaries that I could practice in OA and then carry out in my family and my work. It's also service as a healthy way to get my mind off those resentments. Because if I'm working with other people or doing program things, I don't have time to sit and wallow in my resentments. You know, and, you know, another thing that I've done with the resentments and this is not really within regards to service, but just resentments in general, is praying for that person. You know, praying, it talks about the resentment prayer in the big book. You know, praying for that person's health, happiness, and prosperity, praying that they get everything in life that I would like to have in life. You know, after a while in program, after praying for this ass, you know, whoever that might be, you know, pray for him for 2 weeks. And if the resentment's not gone, and you have to pray for him every day, if you miss a day, you've got to start over from the beginning, you know. And so, you know, if the resentment's not gone in 2 weeks, then you do it for another 2 weeks. Well, after a while, it's like, you know what? I don't want them in my head anymore. It's just not worth having the resentment, you know. And so that's really worked for me. I know that sounds really crazy. And now when something really makes me mad, it's easier to not have a resentment. It's easier to say, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. That was really a crappy thing for them to do. But let's just move on. Because if I don't do that, see, then I have to do the resentment prayer. And then I have to pray for them every day for 2 weeks. They take up time in my head. And I don't really want to have to pray for them. So it's just easier not to resent, you know. Anyway, it works for me. You know, and when, again, you know, when I have a resentment, they're living in my head rent-free. Do I really want to have someone who made me mad on the highway living in my head rent-free for months? I used to do that, you know. So I don't, now it's easier to let it go. I have a process for letting things go. I do my steps. I work with others. I do some service. And I just, if all else fails and I still resent them, then I've got to pray for them. So, anyway, backing up here. Service keeps me sane. One of the biggest things in my recovery that was just an absolute shot in the arm and just rocketing, they talk about rocketing you into the fourth dimension in the big book, it was my work and service. My sponsor got me involved in intergroup early on, probably within my first 6 years of program. It got me involved in intergroup and then region and then world service. And that is, to work above the group level is such an amazing way to get out of yourself and to learn and grow. It was just absolutely life-changing, and I love it. You know, right now having 3 kids in high school and a full-time job, I don't get to do service above the group level right now, but as soon as they're out of the house, I'm going back to that kind of service. But that was really instrumental for me doing group or service above the group level, because I got to see it wasn't just about me or just about my meeting. It was about my whole area, my whole intergroup. It was about other meetings. It was about a whole region of the United States. Oh my gosh, I went to World Service and I got to meet people from all over the world. And you know what? We were all the same. You know, we're all compulsive overeaters. We have the same disease. We have the same plan. We have the same program or prescription for recovery. You know, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, developing a relationship with our higher power. So service really has kept me sane. Areas where service has kept me sane, I went through infertility before I had my kids. Then I had my kids and they were premature, and then I found they were special needs kids, you know, and, you know, one with autism, ADHD, one with ADHD, and the third one with SPDD. So that's sassy pants defiance disorder. Anyway, but they were all speech delayed, and there was, you know, a lot of challenges. And what really helped keep my sanity was going to my meeting and giving service. If I was asked to speak someplace, I would go and give service. It got me out of myself. It got me out of the things I resented, which could have been the disease that they had. It could be the person that cut me off on the road. It could be my husband, you know, whatever he did that pissed me off that day. The getting into service gave me a way to get past those resentments and not just focus on them. It's like I have this amazing magnifying mind. If I look at a resentment, I will magnify that resentment. You know, if I look at service or the good things, you know, about program, that gets magnified too. And so service gets my mind out of that negative place that my brain just naturally wants to go. And then, of course, after it goes there, it wants to go to food, and that's not an option anymore. But just getting into service, I have fun. Okay, so, you know, I used to hear, service is swimming. And I just think, F you very much, and the horse you rode it on. You know, I just used to irritate me when people would say that. But what I want to say is, yes, service was swimming, but the most important thing was service was fun. I met so many cool people, you know, in doing service. And these people are here at this conference. Even though I haven't lived here for 10 years, they are here at this conference. You know, and that is so cool. I get to go different places in the world and be with my peeps because of the Always Service work I've done. I cannot keep my recovery without doing service. Like I said, right now it's primarily, sometimes I'm back to speak, but most of it's at the group level. I keep a tiny 5-person meeting alive in my little tiny town, near my little tiny town, in Monroe, Washington. But I keep going to that meeting no matter what, even though I'd rather go to a huge big meeting like the Arvada meeting, you know, but I keep that meeting going, even though I'm like the only long-timer with long-time recovery, because I need to give service. I need to give back what I've been given. And that it's the only meeting within, you know, a 35-minute drive. So I can give service that way. You know, I can call people. Any amount of service that helps the still suffering compulsive overeater gets me out of myself, gets me away from the food, and gets me into recovery. You know, one of the things that we talk about in program is, you know, we talk about we cannot keep a recovery unless we give it away. And one thing's, you know, this is a we program. We cannot keep our recovery unless we give it away. I need to pay forward. I can't really pay back a lot of the people who have helped me along the way, but I can pay it forward. By giving service, by working with others, you know, I get to help my sponsees who are new in program work through their resentments. And in working with another person, it strengthens my program. I get so much more out of sponsoring than they probably get out of me. You know, it's just, I figure, well, that's why sponsoring is kind of selfish, because it helps us as sponsors. And it helps the sponsee too, but if I'm not working with others, I'm not continually refreshing my mind on what's program all about, and how do I stay in the solution? Because my brain wants to go to the problem. My college training is to find problems and ferret out problems and focus on the problems until they fix them. That's not really recovery. And so part of my recovery is retraining my brain to looking at the positives, looking at the solution, you know, and staying in the solution. So how I do that is with service. You know, and finally, you know, with regard to service, you know, service also fits in with the seventh tradition. You know, in program, you know, part of our seventh tradition is to be self-supporting through our own contributions. That's our time, our talent, and our treasure. And, you know, service is a way that we can give our talent and our time, especially our time. And that's how we keep the program self-supporting. So it's a multifaceted thing. You know, I don't know how much time I have left.
5 minutes.
But I will just kind of share a few things here that, you know, like I said, service is fun. I have met the most fun people. I have had the most amazing life experiences. These people that I've met in these rooms who've given me service have come to my hospital room when my twins were in ICU. They have brought up Pedialyte to me when I lived 45 minutes up in the mountains. When we were all so sick, we were laying on the bathroom floor. This is an act of service, and always service. You know, I had friends who came up and did this for me. They got out of themselves and they helped me. It's this, the relationships that we form in recovery through our service, it becomes infused in our lives, and it's kind of like a woven cloth, so to speak. And I don't know, it's kind of like, at first, when you're in program, it's like, okay, I'll do my 12 steps, and then I'll do my 12 traditions, and everything's very linear. But as you get in program and you start living the program, and it becomes kind of part of your being, all this kind of flows together. Your fellowship flows into service, and that flows into abstinence, because you're hanging out with sober people with the food, and so then you're not as likely to get in trouble with the food. And it's all like this amazing tapestry that gets woven. People kind of look at me like, what the hell is she talking about? But truly, it's, and I can't really explain it. It's kind of, I call it the miracle of recovery, that I don't know how this worked. I don't know how I've stayed sober with the food so many years, but it's like I did what my sponsor told me to do, even though I would be really annoyed and she'd say, aren't you glad you called? Long distance. And, you know, but I'd still do it anyway. And I just keep doing what my sponsor told me to do. Keep doing what the program tells me to do. Keep giving service, because for me, service has been absolutely vital to my recovery. I wouldn't be a parent if I had not had OA. I wouldn't be in the fabulous job I have if I wasn't in OA. I wouldn't still be married to a really good man if I wasn't in OA. OA has given me my life back. And for that, I am so grateful. And I think I've said enough. Thanks.
Thank you, Tawana, for your experience, strength, and hope. We have time for shares or questions at the front, so we ask that you stick to the topic of the meeting. We invite a few members wishing to share to please line up or come up to the microphone when it's your turn. Introduce yourself. The pitches are limited to 3 minutes to allow as many possible shares. Please remember that the session is being recorded and you have signed the release form, we hope. Does anyone want to come up and share?
Don't make me call on people.
I'm Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to share because I see a member in the audience who 4 years ago, when I've been in program for 5 years, and so I had been in program maybe 6 months, and I'm from Golden. There was no meetings in Golden, and I thought to myself, well, there needs to be a meeting in Golden. Let me start this meeting. And so this member, he came to the meeting to help support it, help get it going. And after the meeting, he came up to me and he said, you should really try service at the intergroup level. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Whatever you've been eating. Anyways, I just looked at him and I rolled my eyes like, okay, thanks. But it's that kind of mentorship that plants seeds that got me to intergroup, and I did a year of vice chair, and then I thought to myself, I am never going back there. I can't stand that business stuff. It's totally annoying. I don't even want to go there. And so then God was like, now you need to be recording secretary. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy myself a laptop so I can go and be recording secretary, and I did that for a year. And that was hard. They would go through the budget, and I wouldn't be able to catch up, and I was having, and so I thought, I am never going back to intergroup. I can't stand that. So then I ended up getting vice chair again somehow. I don't know how. I just got drawn back. But just needless to say, it's service is amazing. It really does get you out of yourself, and even if you're and I know we don't smoke at meetings, but like if you're emptying the ashtray at a meeting, that's service. That's what I heard somebody say one time. It's like you can do the smallest thing to be of service. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hi, my name is PJ. I'm a compulsive eater, food addict. Hi, everyone. I live in the Chicago area. I'm from Region 5. Service for me was guided by my sponsor. And the people that I sponsor, I try to get them into service too. And it started with serving at the meeting, then serving at the intergroup, then going to the region, then going to World Service. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey. I can't imagine my life without my OA family. I really cannot. My husband said, we were talking the other day, and somebody said, well, how is your relationship with your husband? I said, well, it used to be terrible, but I think it's much better now since I'm in program. And they looked at him, and he says, is that right? And he says, oh, yeah, she's much better than she used to be. And that is so true. I used to be angry, bitter, all the time, and it was always about me. So service got me out of me and into service and caring about you, which is so much better. I'm so, so thankful. So glad to be here. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Julie, compulsive overeater from Utah. You know, this topic is just really near and dear to me because I didn't realize at the beginning that just doing outreach calls was being of service until I started getting people on the phone. I know that sometimes when I make outreach calls, I get people's voicemail, they don't call me back, whatever. But when I would actually reach somebody and they would be in need and unexpectedly get a phone call, that is like such meaningful service. And I benefit from that as well because I'm able to help somebody instead of obsessing about myself. Those outreach calls led to group service, led to intergroup service, and now I'm convention chair for Salt Lake City in the spring, so I know I'm going to see all of you there. We're going to have an excellent time. But it's such a huge part of my program now that I don't even think twice about doing it, because if I don't, it would definitely lead to a relapse for me, because I'm so self-absorbed with me and my problems and this, that, and the other thing. And now I really don't think about it as much. I don't have to think about planning when I'm going to binge or when I'm going to eat this or that, because there's just no room for it in my life. I have other things that have replaced that. And I just want to say also that my higher power definitely has guided me through this service. There are 12 steps in the big book, and the 12th step is service. And I'm grateful to my sponsor who reminds me of that always. Julie, there's 12 steps, not 11, 12. What are you doing for your 12th step? And the rewards I've gotten from that have just been unbelievable. So very grateful to be here, and I hope everybody has a great day.
Hi, everybody. Stephen, A, B, and C. And I've been in these rooms and rooms like it for quite a while, and I've seen people come in and say, well, you know, yeah, this stuff looks interesting. The steps are okay. And you look at somebody and go, they ain't coming back. You know what I mean? Then you see somebody that says, I just don't get this, okay? They see the steps, and something doesn't make sense in there. What do you mean by resentment? Like, how, you know, I just don't get it. Those are the winners. They totally are. And I really don't think sassy pants defiance is a disorder at all. I think it's probably requirements for success in a 12-step program. And that's the way I approach service. You know, I was invited to come along to that infamous intergroup meeting. And I said, yeah, you know. And eventually I said, okay, sure, whatever. You need somebody, yeah, I'll represent a meeting for you, whatever. And I looked up and I got there and there's... I saw somebody I know that's running the meeting. And they go, oh, I know you. And my next reaction was like, OMG, no way. They have this stuff called parliamentary procedure, and jawohl, Herr Kommandant. No. I thought that went out in the 1940s, okay? And needless to say, yeah, I was the next intergroup freaking chair. Don't ask me how that happened, but, you know, it's I had to do it. And the next thing was... I did that a couple years. Yes, I corrupted the youth of our community and invited them into service and all that. And they seemed to be doing okay. And I ended up being a delegate. And, you know, I didn't think I could do that. I didn't think I could do any of this stuff, you know. I didn't think I was like one of the big kids. And I went, and people told me, oh, you're so good at that. I still don't know what the hell they're talking about, but I can tell you this. When I go to, I'm recently retired from, you know, service in that regard. When I went to New Mexico, especially this year, I was a service slut. Okay? Anything they wanted, they had it. And I didn't realize until it was all over with, but they have 4 meetings a day, you know, all week long. I never made a single one. I can't do that. I'm doing this. I can't do. And I didn't miss it because I'm with OA people the whole time and we're doing stuff and it's, I'm feeling it all. But they had me. They owned me. They got what they could out of me. And I really wish I could go back. It's just my life has changed. But it's more amazing than these people have told you that it is. And, you know, just when you think you're doing all this stuff for OA, you realize what it's doing for you. And, yep, emptying the freaking proverbial ashtray counts. And thank you for doing it.
Thank you. If everyone would like to stand to close.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we're pausing for a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater.